Tax season has arrived, and doing taxes without the right help can feel overwhelming. Intuit TurboTax is here now to guide you through it with confidence. Match with a TurboTax full-service expert who handles everything for you from start to finish. Your dedicated expert checks every single deduction and credit to help you get the best possible outcome so you can feel confident you're getting every dollar you deserve. And the best part? You'll see real-time updates on your expert's progress right on your phone while you live your life. Plus, you get unlimited expert help at no extra cost, even on nights and weekends during tax season. Visit TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Full Service Experts. Real-time updates only on iOS mobile app.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
It's tax season, and by now, I know we're all a bit tired of numbers. But here's an important one you need to hear. $16 billion. That's how much money in refunds the IRS flagged for possible identity fraud. Here's another one. One in four honest, hardworking, taxpaying Americans has been a victim of identity theft. But it's not all grim news. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second for your personal information and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock's U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, backed by another good number, the Million Dollar Protection Package. In fact, restoration is guaranteed or your money back. Don't face identity theft and financial losses alone. There's strength in numbers with LifeLock Identity Theft Protection for tax season and beyond. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's 40% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
This is The Big Breakdown, a long look back at some of the biggest stories we're covering for you at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
Before the Duggar arrests and the federal convictions, the Institute in Basic Life Principles, the IBLP, taught that fathers had complete authority over their families and used religion to say that being silent meant being obedient. To understand what's happening with this family now, it helps us look at the system that influenced them. And we are going to do just that today in a very long conversation about the IBLP and the Duggars and everything in the ecosystem that surrounds it. And to do just that, one of our favorite guests of Robin and myself, Siobhan Scott, is with us, psychotherapist and author, to help us break all of this down. You have such a unique insight into a world like this because you grew up in a fundamentalist religious system. And by the way, if you want to learn about Siobhan's experiences in that, here's her book, Nightbird. Very, very powerful and very raw. I do highly suggest checking that out. When you look at what the IBLP was actually teaching, the total parental authority, the submission doctrine. And you heard the news this week of these new charges that have come out. What came to your mind? What do you recognize, Siobhan, when you hear these stories that most people watching this are missing? It just doesn't come to their mind.
It's an extreme cult. I heard about it when I was a kid growing up, and and the particular faith churches that I was involved in were extreme and were cult-like. Mm-hmm. But this was above and beyond, you know, the homeschooling, the dressing kids alike, this television show, which I never watched because, frankly, all this stuff just made my skin crawl. Mm-hmm. But it's a cult with total psychological control. Obedience equals holiness. It's black and white thinking. You know, you either do it our way or you're on Satan's side. And yeah. So it's based upon fear, raising kids in this really restrictive environment where they have no voice, they never question authority, thinking is dangerous, and the outside world they're completely cut off from it. So it's incredibly disruptive to normal child development.
You know, Siobhan, you brought up a really powerful word there that a few of our listeners tuned into the last couple of days, and that's the homeschooling aspect of it. And I'd love for you to kind of talk about the homeschooling aspect, because there's homeschooling, then there's indoctrination. Yeah. And that's what this is really. So could you explore for us what kind of homeschooling / indoctrination that was kind of being exposed to here, and also, you know, maybe in your own experience as well?
And I want to caveat real quick. We're not, you know, poo-pooing homeschooling as a whole.
That's why I want to go down this road.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
The difference between homeschooling.
There's a big difference. Yeah,
and education and then indoctrination. Big difference between education and indoctrination.
Yes. That's an excellent point, because when my kids were little in California, a lot of people were homeschooling. And it was looked at as a way to give kids a more customized experience. People still took their kids to activities, to museums. They got together with other families. So it wasn't this motivation to keep them pure and to keep them obedient. And so, yes, you're talking about entirely different families with entirely different motives. It can be done in a very benign, even healthy way. But in this case, I guarantee you, the kids were drilled on the Bible, the Bible, the Bible. And there's a whole curriculum put out for Christian homeschoolers, which may have something called science, but it's basically just regurgitating the Bible and calling it science. Everything is based upon their interpretation of scripture. So very different.
I want to, you know, when people watch this television show, The 19 Kids and Counting, or whatever incarnation of it was in its season when it ran for 10 years on TLC, so many people watch this show and they found something warm and fuzzy about it. I think a lot of us were like, it was nails on a chalkboard. It was creepy. It was weird. It felt odd. It felt off. But for so many people, and I remember watching, like, good-hearted people, people that were not cult members, that were not abusive to their families, that were not horrible individuals, they looked at it, and the way it was portrayed, obviously we saw the very best version of them on the television show. There wasn't like, now what's going on behind those doors? It was very much, you know, isn't this cute? Just like sometimes when people, you know, stop at the Amish pie stand, isn't this cute? Isn't this lovely? You have zero control over your own life, but these pies are delicious. It felt like that to a certain extent. Why do you think it is? Why did so many people eat up the Duggars and what was clearly very much a coercively controlled lifestyle? People found it as being very, very homey and colloquial.
Yeah, it really is a mystery to me. I should find some of these episodes and go back and do an analysis of the careful editing that went on. Because we know, I mean, lots of evidence, kids raised in fear, where their ability to think is stamped out, they do not develop normally, and they end up with a lot of anxiety and depression and relationship problems. But obviously that was hidden. And if this was presented as some kind of an ideal, people must have been inspired to copy aspects of it, or at least try. And I think that's insidious.
Yeah, the fear factor is major, because, so I've just about finished a book that Jill Duggar wrote, and as well as the Shiny Happy People series on Amazon Prime. And there's some really striking things in here about the education system, about like, and again, this is just quoting from this, not my opinion. These are just quotes from people that are in that system saying that the largest amount of math they were taught was fractions, because that's the only thing they needed to be taught in order to cook was fractions. Mm-hmm. And then Jill herself and others, the fear they had of creating a sin as defined by IBLP, they had nightmares of burning in hell.
Yes.
I mean, the fear factor was so massive at such a young age for that control, because it is really a control aspect of absolutely everything.
And I identify with that one as a child. Mm-hmm. I remember by age 5, I had definitely an anxiety disorder from all of it, and laying awake at night imagining hell, and I had terrible insomnia and stuff that I was kind of wired for anxiety, and it still affects me to this day. Mm-hmm. How do you talk yourself out of this automatic thinking that you go into, that there's this force that's going to punish you by that? It's horrible for kids.
I hear you. You obviously grew up in a much more extreme religious environment than I did. I grew up in a religious environment as well. I grew up Lutheran.
They're good people.
For the most part, you know, they're harmless. You know, they make fish in the basement of the church, and they're really, for the most part, not bad. But there are, in any group of religious folks, there's some that are more extreme than others. But there's also a lot of things that go on, and I don't know that this is what is going on today in the Wisconsin Synod or Missouri Synod Lutheran churches. Those are the two that I had been parts of as a child. But there were so many things that were just second nature, that they just did with the kids, they just told the kids, that were part of the teachings, the Sunday schools, the daily lessons, all that were just, well, this is what we teach. And nobody thought anything weird of it. I mean, I remember coloring books. I would love to try and get my hands on some of the coloring books from the 70s and 80s that they gave kids in these things. I remember like drawing Saul's wife turning into a pillar of salt as they ran away from Sodom and Gomorrah. And you're like literally drawing the fire and like, can I borrow the blue? I think like kind of a light blue might be appropriate for Saul's wife that just turned into a pillar of salt. Well, why did you turn? Because she looked back. She had the horrible sin of looking back at the destruction that they were running from. And because God said don't, well, guess what? You're a salt lick now. I mean, this is the shit that they taught children. I mean, I know it's in the Bible that way, but the indoctrination of this fear, you know, in kind of a happy-go-lucky way, because you're coloring this, and then 5 minutes later, oh, animal cracker time.
Mm-hmm. Well, they weaponized religion.
Yes, mm-hmm. Completely. And it's not just the extreme groups like the IBLP that do these sort of things. Sure. This was just mainstream little Lutheran church in the neighborhood that, you know, and nobody thought anything weird of it. The parents didn't think anything weird of it. And I don't blame them, because everybody would have been indoctrinated into this sort of a world. Mm-hmm. But it's like every religion to a certain extent, or every version of whatever you have, they go to the death and destruction and the fear factors so early, or at least they used to for a long time.
Yeah.
With the young children, the damage that must do. Can you speak to that?
Well, the one that used to torment me, Jacob? I may get the Old Testament names mixed mm-hmm. up, even though at one time I could have told you all of them.
I get them mixed up now too.
Jacob, who was to prove his love by God by murdering, sacrificing his son Isaac.
Oh yeah, that's a I've done the coloring page on that.
Yeah,
and he's like, and on the altar,
laid him down on the altar and had the knife ready, and then the angel stopped him and said, okay, you don't have to do it, you've proven your loyalty here. I was like, who could I kill? What if I were in that position? What if I were the one that was going to be sacrificed? And that just horrified me. Talk about, I mean, if they would just stick with Jesus in the New Testament, right?
Well, like what kind of, I mean, if you're an adult and you're trying to understand the story and the greater, bigger 10,000 foot or 100,000 foot overview lesson of these parables, an adult mind can understand, I mean, even though a lot of it's pretty wonky, you can kind of get, oh, okay, I kind of get the point they're trying to make here. But at 7, you're just like, oh, he's going to kill his kid, and he's waiting for the angel to say stop. Or, you know, it's the kids aren't going to get it. But they seem to miss that children aren't going to understand this shit, and they take it all way too literal.
Literal.
Or they're doing it on purpose because, again, it goes to control and fear, which becomes part of the indoctrination. You know, what was really striking, you know, in the series and learning about this was the authority and how that authority works in that. And, you know, Tony put up the graphic for a number of days, you know, the umbrellas of authority. But the infallibility of authority is where they gain their control. And because I was really thinking about this. So here's Jill, the oldest daughter in the Duggar family. How did she come to break from this? And so this is going to be this leading to my question for Siobhan. She was able to break, again, no psychoanalyst on my side, but what had happened was she saw a chink in her father's armor when he deceived her intentionally the day before she got married, and he connived her into signing the contract that obligated her in her entire life, photographs of the birth, delivery, wedding, everything, without compensation except to the father for 5 years. And so he deceived her. And so when she finally this comes to light and discovers this, that's the chink that said, oh my God, she didn't think this consciously, but this is where the chink happened. The authority is fallible. Mm-hmm. And then the whole thing started crumbling. So without that, how does someone recognize internally, if they even can, that this system is broken?
Yeah. Yeah. At some point, many people who are raised under this kind of religious system, they start to develop critical thinking skills, and a light bulb comes on. Something goes too far for them. Now, that doesn't happen for everybody, and some people just grow up and replicate the pattern. But I know for me, the light bulb started coming on for me at about 18, and that was the group I was involved in was big into faith healing. And if you had faith, you would be healed. If you didn't have faith, you wouldn't. So if somebody died or had a child that died, it was their fault. And this started to not add up to me. That was a line that went too far. And then, of course, my mother, when I was 16, died of cancer. And we were all praying. We were doing all the right things. You know, we called the 700 Club helpline. They were praying. She's been healed. Well, she wasn't healed, and she died. And that was a real blow for me that I think made the light bulb come on. You know, this stuff just doesn't work. And there was another case where a child had leukemia, a little boy at age 5. And of course, they were praying and he was going to be healed. And he wasn't. He died. And then they said, they took it to the parents, don't get the body embalmed because God is going to raise him up at the funeral and he's going to come back to life and be resurrected. Well, guess what? That didn't happen either.
There was no zombie?
Yeah. So
what a letdown.
Now,
and I will throw though there are, you know, whether it's prayer or the positive energy, there actually are studies where the amount of positive energy groups and organizations put out through meditation actually can affect things. So I will throw there is some pseudoscience on that out there.
I have not read anything scientific that impressed me on it.
It's interesting. So Joe Dispenza in his works, Dr. Joe Dispenza, what the hell's the name? Becoming Supernatural actually talks a lot about what he found through the studies of that. I digress on this thing. I don't want to discount people's faith in their prayers, what I'm trying to do. And the power of prayer.
And this is just my position, right? Coming from my angle. A lot of people find prayer soothing. It's meditative. It helps them cope. It can serve a psychological purpose for them. I have a dear friend who's a therapist, and she said, you know, I don't really believe in God, but I still pray because it makes me feel better.
Yes.
If it makes you feel better, do it. Mm-hmm. And I do not have all knowledge, and I can't say that there's never an effect from it. But certainly in my growing up experience, I believed in it. I was taught that. But I saw that it did not fit with reality. Right. And fortunately, I was reading a lot, and I was open to new ideas. I went to the library all the time. And of course, if you've read my book, you know, I was married and a mother at 16 because of the faith. And I was breaking free by developing the ability to think my own thoughts. And at some point, something happens for people, whatever it may be, where, as you say, they see a chink in the armor and thinking starts to kick in. And once they start to develop their own ability to critical think, they can look back on the whole thing and make an assessment of it. And that's often where people say, you know, I don't swallow this anymore.
And they step away. Down.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that damn thinking. They don't like it when you start
they
doing
do
that.
Not.
Curiosity.
They
you know?
Do not.
You're out. I mean, you start, you become the black sheep when you start asking questions. Yes. And they just kind of know, well, we lost one. This
one. And then you get shunned.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. I mean, you really do. You start to get looked at as like, oh, well, maybe the kid shouldn't play with that one because that one thinks.
And you know what they do? And in the Amish culture, they shun you, which is a very powerful thing. You're cut off. And what they did in IBLP, you know, and Jim Bob said this all the time, you will no longer be under the protective umbrella.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so they shamed you with fear of no longer being protected. Again, that fear.
Yeah.
I mean, they love their umbrellas in IBLP.
No
I mean, that's
kidding.
That's their whole damn thing. I want to take it back for a second. We're talking about Jim Bob, you know, allegedly deceiving her, essentially, with that contract on her, I believe it was her wedding, or right before the birth, wedding was...
Day before the wedding.
Day before the wedding, where it was basically sign off everything. And, you know, you're thinking your father has your best interest at heart. I mean, this is what you've been raised to believe. Yeah. And she signs the damn thing. And it being deceptive, and depending how you're looking at it, one could go, oh, Jim Bob is sitting there in the corner going, I'm going to deceive her. I'm going to go sneak this in, and hopefully she doesn't realize what she's signing. I don't know that he's sitting there thinking that, you know, because I think, in my opinion, he's seeing it as normal. He's seeing this is just the modality. This is how it works. I don't think he's not over in the corner being evil. Oh, how can I deceive my children? And that's why I think when they're confronted with these realities and these challenges from society saying, this isn't okay. This was pretty shitty what you did over here. That's not how they saw it all when they were doing it. And they're also unable to do a whole lot of introspectively looking at their actions and go, hey, maybe I should see it from a different way. Luckily, the girls did, and they for a long time just saw it the same way that Jim Bob allegedly sees it as, I'm looking out for my children. It's part of the umbrella. It's part of the system. They are breaking the system if they want to get out from the umbrella, and if they're going to do that, well, then according to my belief system, then, well, good luck to them. This is why you get the stories where, well, your inheritance is going to be reduced and threats and this and that. But again, they're not looking at it as a threat or necessarily. It is 1,000% control, but they don't see it as that because they've redefined it in their mind as something else, as love, as the direction, as they're the shepherd guiding the flock.
And it's also ordained by God.
Yeah.
Also ordained by God. That's who said it. That's who the. You know, when you look at their website and you go to their videos on authority, that's exactly what happens is they talk about the authority of God. And God made this hierarchy and structure according, and you must obey to it because if you don't, well, then you're going to burn in hell. Again, the fear factor comes in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Then you add words in like, well, it's witchcraft if you look at something other than what I'm saying. Let's talk about this because this obviously, I'm going to go on a limb here and say, it seems the Duggar family doesn't quite understand contraceptives. They don't seem to either believe in them or understand their use.
It's a sin.
And they have deliberately kept sex education out of their homeschool curriculum. They even went on the 19 kids and counting when Josh got married, there was that cute little segment where they fumbled through the idea of sex. And I think I kind of know what I'm talking about, Dad, even though he's already diddled his sisters and we all, and Jim Bob knew that. But for TV, it's like, oh, he's innocent. He knows nothing about this. Let's talk about that a little bit because they keep the education out of their curriculum. But clearly in this family, some of the boys figured it out pretty early what their parts did or what they were interested in. What does that specific deprivation do to a developing young adult when you're not going to educate them and you're going to keep them completely isolated from society where they might be able to pick pieces up here and there?
Mm-hmm. It really stunts their development because they don't know what normal is. They don't have boundaries. And particularly for the daughters, how do they even have a language to report what's happened, right? Mm-hmm. Because secrecy is a virtue. And girls typically in these kinds of systems have no power. They have no voice. They are diminished. They're not as valuable as the boys. And it's something that really sets them up. Boys don't know what normal, do they understand what masturbation is? You know, do they even have a clue on who it's okay to touch and who it isn't okay to touch? You know, they don't have the information and the knowledge. So they really are handicapped. And it's just a petri dish for awful things to happen sexually.
You know, this we talked about this before the show even started, this non-correcting doctrine that people have. And the author Noah Havari, who I've quoted a few times, who wrote the book Sapiens and Homo Deus, and then his last book is Nexus, and that's how human beings communicate. Systems that actually are self-correcting systems that can evolve, both documentary as well as spoken and everything, are healthy systems. But when you have a system like this one that is not self-correcting, these things happen. But it still blows my mind. And so, Siobhan, how is it that a father can now have two sons that have done horrendous things to their sisters and others, most likely caused because of this system, this non-correcting system of education, and yet he still doubles down on that non-correcting system? He is still involved with the church. He is still doing these things, yet it has completely wrecked lives. How is it that someone does not see that and correct and move on and grow?
It's amazing the ability that some people have to delude themselves and to not see reality. Some people are really good at it. And the ways that people will rationalize their kids' horrendous behavior and their own horrendous behavior. And the other thing that's occurred to me, we know about a certain amount of abuse. There could be lots more abuse that went on that we don't know about, because often in these families too, it's not only the girls that are molested, boys are molested by older brothers, you know, and that's something that people really feel a lot of shame about and tend not to talk about. Sometimes they never talk about it, or they talk about it decades later as they're older.
And they don't even know, because they don't even have the words for it.
Right.
It's so mind-blowing. They don't even equip them with words. Yep. To understand its abhorrent behavior.
Yeah.
It just blows your head.
It's the magic of the IBLP. You know? I mean, it's just, it's nuts. There's so much more we're about to get into here. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you're downloading podcasts so you don't miss any of our conversation on this. And weigh in on Substack and YouTube. We'd love for you to do just that.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast. This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
We want to step back from the specific charges for a minute and have a conversation that's bigger than the Duggars, because the Duggars are a symptom of this greater disease. And I'm going to call it a disease, in my opinion, or cult. It's a belief system called the Institute in Basic Life Principles. It has operated inside this country for 60 years. It's shaped hundreds of thousands of lives. Shaped, I think, is maybe a real positive way of spinning it. It's probably more like scars. Hundreds of thousands of families, and largely avoided serious scrutiny because it wraps itself in scripture and calls itself a church. The Duggars didn't build that system. They just became the most famous face. And what's coming out of that family right now, the charges, the silence, the closed ranks, the denial from a prison cell, none of it is surprising when you understand what the system actually teaches and what it's designed to do and who it's designed to do it to. That's what Rob and I are getting into today. The IBLP again. And this is my opinion, and then there's Robin's opinion. You know, allegations are the allegations that are out there. This is an opinion piece.
And no expert on the church itself, just really what we've been researching and applying what we understand of the structure of what we've been reading about the Duggars and apply it to human nature on that.
Yeah. So there's that.
It's not Mormon.
Yeah.
St. Martin put that in there. No, it's not Mormon. It's a Baptist offshoot.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. This weekend, somebody I was talking to that made the comment of, well, it was 5 years ago since it happened. This little girl's coming out. Yeah, you mean like she was, because somebody said, you mean third grade? Yeah, I mean like third grade. Meaning Joseph Duggar found it to be a great idea as a 20-some-year-old to go get a blanket and put it around him and a third grader that wasn't his own child and then have whatever the hell he's doing with his hands. This is the folks we're talking about. Yeah. Part of the IBLP. This is part of their religion. Okay, so let's talk about this because they have this teaching, the umbrella of authority that they invented, where essentially you have the church, and then below that you have the fathers, and then below that you have the wives, and below the children. And basically, it's as long as you're looking up to the closest umbrella to you, nothing can ever get at you, assuming the umbrella above you actually wants to protect you and not do horrible things to you. That's where the problem seems to arise when they seem to have a lot of these folks around that they have broken umbrellas, to put it nicely. Yep. Robert, we were talking in the last segment about this a little bit, where basically if there is an accusation or something horrible that comes out, take, for example, the accusations of the 13-year-old in Florida that Joseph has allegedly admitted to. That happened when the girl was 9, they would not report this to the police because in their mind, that's not something you do. You go handle it internally with dad. And then then as long as dad says, I'm sorry, I guess everything's okay. And according to them, if this were a business and this were like in the handbook of don't report this shit, just go to HR, I think they'd be shut down pretty quick. But because we put the magical R word in front of it, religion, it's like, oh, it's okay. It must work out good. You said the word God in a sentence, didn't you? I guess he'll protect us from everything.
Yeah. And the father, the patriarch, is the end all be all in this entire thing. They are the protector. And what I found really interesting about this concept, you would think in situations where you have this kind of abuse being reported very accurately, very descriptively, that but it looks like from the outside it's being covered up by this patriarch. Mm-hmm. But same time though, if law enforcement gets involved and comes in, they're telling and instructing everyone, be completely transparent, be completely open, be cooperative. Yet what's interesting is that the children in these situations live in fear of this closing because that goes against what they've been taught for their entire lives of honor thy parents. And so it can have that impression from the outside of they're cooperating, they're doing all these great things, but at the same time though, are they really? Because they're still honoring the one thing, the only person that matters is what the father thinks. And if I don't get the approval from the father, nothing else in life matters, because that comes down to that.
And I can guarantee they feel guilt. Guilt for coming forward and doing this, because now they're blowing up this family and they're doing this. And I assure you there's passive aggressive shame that's going around.
Shame's the motivator. So shame, and Jill even talked about it in her book. So remember, one of the greatest motivators is fear of human, is fear is one of our motivators for action. And the way we fear the other one is shame. And so what they'll do is if you don't adhere to the protocols, if you don't adhere to seeking forgiveness, and more importantly, giving forgiveness, shame.
Yeah.
And they will avoid shame at all costs. And so you see the battle that's going on internally here of these poor little children. They're God, what a mess.
Someone said, to be fair, describing or disclosing abuse is met with denial regardless of religion. Yeah, I mean, to a certain extent it is, but what we're talking about differently here, what I think is different, and I don't want to say just the IBLS or whatever it's called, the IBLP, it's true. I think a lot of religions have a very similar type structure. We're going to handle it here this way. They're just a lot more direct about it. They're just more like, it's in the handbook. Here's how we handle this. I think a lot of other religions are kind of like a little more in the gray area of like, well, is there enough pressure that we're going to get a news story done about us, or can we handle it over here? I mean, essentially, it's how much pressure do you have to put on the organization to do the right thing? They're going to stand there and be your moral authority all day on everything and tell you this is right and that's not, and you got to do it this way and that way. But the only way that we're actually going to take a stand and do what we're supposed to be doing, what we've been telling you all you need to be doing, is if you threaten to expose us. And then if you threaten to expose us, we're going to threaten you by going after, you know, your morality, and you're going to be excommunicated and this and that, and we're going to take away your inheritance. If you say anything negative about our family, let's sign a few NDAs. Jim Bob's good at that. I mean, it's just insane. It's insane control, and it's being executed by these people who are claiming they're just the moral authority because of their religion, and they seem to be completely tone deaf and blind to the actual actions that they're taking and how the rest of the world perceives them. But they've also been conditioned to not give a shit either. I mean, it's really this kind of magical cacophony of, I don't care what anybody thinks about me. I'm going to be the moral authority. I'm going to do the exact opposite of what I'm telling everybody. But somehow I'm still justified if I just keep telling myself this and the few people around me just keep reinforcing my ways of thinking.
It's interesting. And also Robert Pickett said something about, you know, political parties, agendas. Yeah, so I actually looked up the numbers on this. Cults. Religions make up 51% of the cults on average around the world as a pure definition of cult. And then political parties and all these other things make up the other 49% if we're just looking at numbers, as Robin does. So, sorry, Tony, I had another point based on that. I was riffing off of what you said. I can't remember.
How does anybody look at the picture of this family and go, there's not something really wrong going on here? Because it's not 1847 and we have birth control. Like, I mean, just looking at the family and just...
So
going,
that's attractive. So Tony, so I looked at this. So again, let's do our thought experiment. Remove the horrendousness that we've seen. Say you are in a world that you're not around or been exposed to a lot of really, really healthy people. You've been in a world of chaos. Because this, you think in terms of what inspires a family to start following this path. Well, say that you're in a world of chaos. And so the mom, Jim Bob's wife, she originally was not part of this. You know, she got part of this because of her husband. Yeah. And so here you are. You're in a world of chaos. There's a lot of unhealthy things. There's a lot of maybe sex, drugs, and rock and roll going on. And then you have an opportunity to calm the chaos in your life. And you see a photo like that. And again, you're not looking at unhealthy. You're looking at, wow, family, community, safety, guaranteed social networks, friends. So that's the attractiveness. Because I looked up and I said, what would attract someone in 2026 to want to voluntarily start from nothing and go into that? It's those things. It becomes attractive to people, not weak-minded people, just people seeking some calmness, some serenity, some community. So that's the attractiveness of it.
And the sick part about it, I mean, and I remember when the show was on TLC years ago, I never really watched it. I would watch Trading Spaces and I'd see the promos for it. And I remember...
Tax credits.
I mean, tax credits galore, I guess, too. But I mean, and this is just the one that was exposed. I mean, there's tons of families like the Duggars that are out there. They're just these ones had a TV show.
Yes.
Relying on the other kids to raise your kids is essentially what they ended up doing.
Oh, they had a buddy system like Navy SEALs.
They did. Sorry. They had a buddy system. Yep. and they talk about it. And it looks all lovely and neat in your, 3-minute segment on 19 kids and counting, or counting on, or whatever. And it's, oh, isn't this is enduring. Look, they're learning how to be grown-ups and taking care of each other. Yeah, that's all fine and well to a certain extent, but they're kids raising kids at a certain extent. So is that part of the breakdown here? Because look, Josh was a kid raising kids. He was one of the older kids, so he had some sort of moral authority to a certain extent above the other kids. I'm wondering how much of that, when you get into these sort of dynamics where you have kids without reps who are teenagers, who are riddled with emotions and riddled with hormones and no life experience and very little guardrails or actually very strict guardrails, little education,
just
I guess.
Appropriate ones.
Yes, there's guardrails, but nobody knows why they're there or how they're there or what they do. And when they're not educated on any of these sort of things, and then you end up with this nightmarish scenario that some of these kids went down and then end up going into adulthood, I guess, and finding a proclivity to enjoying it. I just think like that recipe right there, this idea of, well, okay, you're this moral mom and dad. You don't have the bandwidth to parent these kids. There's not enough of you to go around, even if you tried. So the good percentage of the parenting comes from someone who's not that much more experienced in the world than themselves. And God knows what other sort of misguided thoughts they may have, these boys. Clearly there was an issue with at least one of the other boys who thought this was a good idea. And now there's a second one. So yep. I'm gonna guess, I don't know, the conversations amongst the boys maybe should have been a little more, I don't know, parented. I really wonder what was going on, what was being discussed, and how much was just looked at as, well, boys will be boys. And then this nightmare happened. I don't know. But I mean, I feel like when you put the authority to help raise other children in the hands of other children, you might get some bad outcomes.
Yeah, it was children raising children. Again, this is just according to Jill. The parenting that was going on in the house, and she says her parents were extremely loving and everything, but it was at night. The girls would be in their room, the boys would be in their room, and then dad would sit in the middle and he would preach to them. They'd do their Bible study at night, and that was the parenting. But during the day, they had their buddy system, just like the Navy SEALs do. You don't get anywhere without your buddy. And so it was adolescents raising adolescents.
Yeah.
But, and again, how did they reinforce that? That was where they got their... that validation, that acceptance. So that's what they kept seeking, was they kept seeking more responsibility as a sibling, because that's where they got their attention from, was the accolades they got from raising their siblings well. And the guardrails, the rules, they put the rules in place. The only rule there was exactly what the Bible says in my interpretation of it. You just stay within these guardrails right here and you're fine. The problem that this manifested was, when it came to sexuality, it was ignored. It was like suppressed, ignored. You don't talk about it because that's a sin. You can't think, you can't even think bad thoughts because that's a sin.
Which is insane because it's their brand. Brand is effing like rabbits. But it's like, we don't speak of this. We don't speak of how the sausage is made.
It's a control system put in place in an uncontrollable situation.
And it's just enough. They hit all the right points with all the people at the right moments in their lives to make them go along with it, to make them think, oh, this is warm and fuzzy and lovely. Like, they had half the country bamboozled that was watching this shit show, and then they're all shocked when it all goes to hell.
And it was also homeschooling, too. It was homeschooling, but not homeschooling from what the state put out as homeschooling.
No.
But it was actually the religious homeschooling that actually the church itself created the schooling program.
Yes.
So it was...
Books, their workbooks. They have like a handful of workbooks that they teach from. And it's a really sad excuse for education. And again, these are all things that if it was a business that was conducting this, it would be sued seven ways to Tuesday and would be shut down. But because it was a religion by Bill Gothard, who built his entire organization on this, who's been accused by more than 34 women of harassment and assault and is 91, still operating. He's never faced criminal charges. The organization he built is still running. And when you look at the Duggar story and then look back at the man at the top of the system that shaped them, I mean, It's not shocking. It's none of this is shocking. I remember watching the show, like I said, back in the day before there was one charge against any of them. And I kind of had a feeling that, yeah, you know, 10, 20 years from now, we're going to be telling a very different story of this family.
This is a recipe for something going sideways.
Yes.
Hard. Yeah, it really was. You know, I mean, if you look back at Ruby Frankie, and I know someone mentioned, you know, that Kevin Frankie he wasn't the patriarch in his family. You're right, Ruby was, but but she said he was.
It's the same level of like just willful ignorance at a certain point where it's like, totally. Well, my religion says I shouldn't step up and be a human being and care for my children.
And remember, Ruby's whole motivation too is the same motivation you're using here. She was constantly seeking approval from her mom. Yeah.
And they end up putting someone in a place of religious authority that then overrides actual authority,
right,
or just moral judgment, and then you have to follow the authority. In that case, Ruby Frankie was the authority. In the cases over here, it's who's ever saying we're not going to the police. I was watching the doc last night, The Shiny Happy People, and it was one of the friends, a very close friend of the Duggar family, of Jim Bob, that sat down in the doc and said, you know, Jim Bob, everything you're running on here for Senate, and all these, you know, real moral principles you're trying to stand on, involving people who do these sort of things to children by your own campaign, by your own standards, he would be in prison. So, and then they sat down and thought, oh, maybe we should go turn him in. And they did, and they brought him in. So, but it took somebody catching it. And I think that's just the real shitty part about the Duggars and the whole IBLP and all of it. It's like, okay, once you catch them, they're like, oh, you got me. But it takes somebody to go and say, hey, wait a second here. Then it's like, oh, you got me. But until then, they don't they've not demonstrated the moral authority to stand up on their own and say, I screwed up. Not that people are anywhere really turned themselves in, but the fact that they're able to do these things and just kind of create like a game of cat and mouse where it's like, hope I don't get caught. No matter how horrible the shit is that they've done.
Again, their level of forgiveness, that's why it was their get out of jail free card. As long as I admit it and seek forgiveness, you have to give me my forgiveness. You know, meanwhile, and then when that happens, and you don't, as an adult, as the only adults here, the mom and the dad don't understand. It's like, just because you forgive your son doesn't mean he's going to change his behavior. Just because you send him to a work camp, you know, with a neighbor for a couple months doesn't mean he's going to change his behavior. There was no belief in counseling, rehabilitation, which you can't in those situations anyway, or letting law enforcement know, or anyone. It's just a disaster. And to the other, you know, they will definitely tell you they're Christian, they're fundamental Christians, and it is Baptist, is what this is an offshoot of. Again, in one of the questions in the comments there.
Yeah, in horror stories.
Yes, I know it doesn't. Yeah, forgiveness does not negate consequences, Mark Fry. You're right, but according to them, it does.
According to them, that seems to be how it functions quite often. It's not shocking. It's not shocking. And I feel like there's far more to come here.
Well, and who's the guy that, you know, again, I can't believe the name is skipping.
The church?
Who started the
Bill
church?
Bill Gothard.
And how many charges, how many accusations have been against him?
Well, quite a few. I believe 30-something, but he's never been criminally charged with anything. Right. He's maintained his innocence on everything. 34 women have come forward with charges of harassment and assault. He's 91 now, and he's another guy where when you there's so many preachers you can watch on television and stuff, and there's several that are just creepy as shit. In my opinion, there is a level of creepiness to him, but he's very soft-spoken, and of all of them, he's really not the type that you're going, I wonder what's going on behind the scenes here. But apparently there's a lot of accusations that have been there. But again, never been charged, maintains his innocence. But I mean, 34 doesn't come out of a vacuum either. That's just kind of like, it's like,
my only point to bring it up is that, you know, in the you know, again, 51% of the cases we see of cults, 51% are a religious offshoot. I'll call it a religious offshoot, not religious mainstream, because this is a religious offshoot, is typically created by someone that is taking something that they can use, an infrastructure that's always already in place. They can then manipulate it in a way to serve their own issues.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's like almost any time I hear the words, oh, we're an offshoot, like, it's run. Just run. Yeah.
An offshoot, eh?
Like, oh, an offshoot. So somebody had an idea that the original extreme church said, you're too extreme for us, but over here, it's all fine and dandy. That seems to be how so much of it works. Anyway, your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We'd love to get your thoughts. There's a lot more to come on this case.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Save big money on your next painting project at Menards. Pristine interior paint and primer in one is Dutch Boy's best hiding and most durable paint. It delivers a smooth, elegant finish while providing maximum scuff, stain, and mark resistance. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and get your painting project started today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spend on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Moto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Moto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, It's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Here's the truth. You could literally be adored by everyone and then come home and still get completely ignored by your own cat. It's classic cat behavior. But new Shiba Premium Puree is a lickable treat that changes all that. They're protein-rich, made with bone broth, and have the smooth, creamy texture cats go crazy for, especially when it's hand-fed. Yeah, it's more than a treat. It's a fast pass to favorite human status. So feed your cat Shiba and go from totally ignored to truly adored in just 12 days, guaranteed, or your money back. Learn more at Shiba.com.